I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. Don't tell the other podcasts. I should go.
Is it any wonder why we're still going on and on and on? Does anybody ever ask what happened to that one we took? And if we got older, well, you know that's just fine. I could be 100 and I'll still be talking like a teen.
Hey, you are listening to Talking Like a Teen, the podcast where we have a tendency to rush back into our past. I am crabbing at the booty is a line that exists. Is that a thing?
You took mine because I was going to be crab because get it, cancer.
Okay, fine. You can crab at the booty. I got my hash pipe, so I'm good. So there you go. Perfect.
I got my hash pipe.
Proceeds to rip off the Peter Gunn theme. So, part three of our Weezer Green Album retrospective. At this point, I just want to ask you, do you remember where you were the day you first heard hash pipe?
No, I'm willing to bet that gun to my head, I would not have pegged that as a Weezer song, because what the fuck is that vocal?
This is, you know what I haven't done in a while? I haven't done story time in a while. Do we have time for story time?
We do have time for story time. Let it rock.
And now, it's time for another edition of the winded, nostalgia-filled ramblings of Adrian King in a segment we like to call Story Time. Here is your host, Adrian King.
So the year is 2001, and like a lot of random memories, I don't remember how I got to where I was. All I know is I was home. I was supposed to be spending the night with my cousins, or at least one cousin. But for whatever reason, I rode with my aunt and uncle and my cousins. Like, I think it was like a furniture store. I don't know if it was like IKEA. I don't remember. We were at a bunch of stores. And I don't know why I was even with them. I could have just met them up at the house when they got back. But I remember before leaving the house, all of a sudden, they're like, here's a new song, Hashpipe Weezer. And I'm like, Weezer? And it just rips into this, you know, this, I say inspired with finger quotes, but it's literally just the riff of the Peter Gunn theme. Again, ask your parents about Peter Gunn if you're not familiar, or just YouTube it or something. Because I'm like, oh, are we just doing like a Peter Gunn like remake? And then out of nowhere, the Rivers Cuomo falsetto kicks in. And I'm like, oh shit, Weezer's back. Oh, but they sound like, but Weezer's back. Oh shit, Weezer's back. Oh shit, Weezer's back. And I took my Walkman with me, and because it still had the radio tuner on it, to try to see if they would play it again. And that night they played it a few times, and I'm like, I remember being so excited that Weezer was back. I didn't even think about anything else other than just, hell yeah, Weezer's back. And the song kind of kicks ass. That was the first night. By the time I got back home, like later that week, I went to try to like listen to it again. And because, you know, the first time you listen to a song, you're just there for the vibe and the energy. And then I always get to do my lyrical deep dive where I really just listen to what's being said to me. I don't know what was happening. I know I love that song, but it's just like, what is, because like, this isn't Buddy Holly. This sure as hell isn't El Scorcho. But what is this new concoction they've put together?
This has been another edition of the winded, nostalgia-filled ramblings of Adrian King and the segment called Storytime. We'll see you next time.
I just... The vocals are bad. I don't like it, which sucks because I like the rest of the song a lot. Like, the instrumentation is very fun. The vocals, like, hurt my brain and hurt my ears.
Which, I get that. And I know you're, like, formally trained vocalist, so I know you have, like, a strong ear when it comes to that kind of stuff. I don't. And I'm just more of the, if it fits the song, then go for it, which is probably why you would hate me if we were in a band together.
It sounds like when you're trying to sing off key on purpose. And if that's the goal, then like, go off. But I don't like it. It doesn't make it palatable to the ear.
No doubt. And I almost wonder, and I'm sure we could probably find some information on that. Because remember, I was like that whole anti-Pinkerton vibe we were going for? I would argue that this song could have easily been on Pinkerton, or at least a B-side. Because if you think about the rest of the tracks on Weezer's Green Album, nothing sounds like this. Nothing is this off-putting or as abrasive. Everything else is pretty affable, pretty easygoing, and it's kind of like we said last time, it's designed to be as pleasing to the ears as it humanly possibly can. All the harmonies, the melodies, the chords, everything is just at this like almost damn near frequency of just earworm. Whereas Hashpipe is just sneering, it's snotty, it's like kind of this dirtbag song that just really, if you think about it too long, may not belong in this album, but it also is a single that they actually fought for. Like, they actually used to, like, they got into a disagreement, and ultimately there was a battle. Like, they wanted this as the first single, and honestly, is it a good song? Probably not, but is it a good mission statement? You fucking bet your ass it is.
And I think if the goal was to try to split the difference as, like, the first showing, to try to get the Blue Album people back on board and to keep the Pinkerton people, while also kind of cultivating this new Green Album people, I think it's the best foot forward to do that.
Right.
That doesn't mean I have to love it.
No, and I don't even think I could silly want it if I wanted to. I get it. Because like I said, when I first heard it, I was just excited to have them back. I wasn't thinking about it objectively. So now that I am later on where I'm like, oh yeah, this is not a well-written song. But just off of an energy, like I said, it's just, this song is Weezer all over.
Yeah, the instrumentation's so good.
Instrumentation is good. The lyrics are a little bit off, but whatever this energy that's being put forth, it's so good, you can't not get into it. I don't know what it is, but it's just, it's perfect that way. And the fact that this song is juxtaposed, I know we're kind of jumping a little further into the discography, but jumping into like Island in the Sun directly after is perfect track setting. Mm-hmm. That is just A1.
Because I feel like we've talked this to death, but like you've got your opener, your second track, which is usually continuing the energy of the first track. Then you get your single, and then you get your song that's counterpoint to the single.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the first half of this album. Again, even though I have my problems with Hashpipe, I think Hashpipe is in the right spot as far as the album is concerned. And I get the vibe. Again, the vocals hurt me, but it's only 3 minutes long and he's not singing in all 3 minutes of it. It's fine. That guitar riff is enough to kind of carry me through. Also, I'm personally riding high off of Photograph, which is my favorite song off of this album. And I'm happy to get to Island in the Sun, which is also a stupid song, but is fun in a very different way than Hashpipe is.
And here we go, 25 years later, Lil Wayne Kate returns to Weezer. Oh my god. Because you're right. The first half is good. It's great. And Island in the Sun, as much as we meme on like Weezer songs and how they're so like hard on your sleeve and kind of just that dopey earnestness, I feel like this is that perfect other side of that coin with Weezer. Like I said, it's because it's just, it's sweet. It's a really good song. The harmonies are really good on this. But I will say one thing, though. Island in the Sun is where I started to miss Matt Sharp.
This is Weezer's Kokomo.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's catchy. You enjoy it, but you can feel that Brian Wilson is not there. And that's, you're right. You can kind of feel the absence of something deeper.
Like we said in parts 2 and 1 and 2, Matt and Rivers are perfect together. I like how well their voices mesh together. I like seeing them. I never saw them live on stage, like in person, but I was just watching performances. I liked how Rivers, you know, the quiet, shy, reserved, was juxtaposed to Matt absolutely just blasting the shit out of his bass guitar behind him. Like, it was kind of like watching, like, there's one performance, I can't remember which song, but it literally felt like when Nirvana played SNL during the In Utero years, when Pat Smear was playing with them, where Chris Novoselic is, you know, he's very reserved, whereas Pat is like going bananas, and you don't know what song he's listening to, but he's feeling that shit. And that was Matt. But this album, the reason why I say I miss him is I miss his harmonies. Because there's so many good, like, vocal runs on this. And even, like, a song like Smile, that is such a good sing-along song. And its harmonies are great. And, like, Matt would have killed it on this shit.
Yeah. And that's not to say that Mikey's not doing a good job. It's just, it's not the same.
And don't get me wrong. Mikey holds his own this album. He's great. I just wish he, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, I know his tenure with the band was very short-lived. And I know, you know, he passed sometime after this. So we didn't really get a lot of time with Mikey because honestly, by the time, if I'm not mistaken, by the time the Photograph video is released, he's out because Scott Schreiner's in that video, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Being in Weezer did a number on Mikey. And if from what I've heard and what I'd read, it sounds like some of the seeds were already there. But again, jumping headfirst into Weezer and how big that band was and the touring schedule and all that stuff just kind of made some underlying problems a lot worse. And it's a stone cold bummer how that kind of ended up ending.
I think you're absolutely right, though. And honestly, you killed it on that Kokomo comparison because it really is just that. But the second half of this album is considerably weirder, and I would argue that maybe my issue is the singles are too front loaded.
I, for the most part, have no issue with how this album is structured, but as much as I like Photograph, I always forget the photograph was a single because it feels like it didn't have the same reach as the other two, but
it definitely didn't.
I think you could get a single from the back half of this album.
Hashpipe's good. Island of the Sun's perfect. I feel like you need a curveball for the third one. So actually, in the latter half of this album, what would you think would be a good single?
I do like Knockdown Dragout. It's short. It's the shortest song off of this album. So maybe it's too short, but I like Knockdown Dragout. I think Smile could be good.
In my mind, I would want Simple Pages to be the third single off this album. Because in my mind, it's probably the best song in this album, but I don't know why that is. I think there's a certain rhythm on this song that's just like bouncy, and it's just, I know saying it's a toe tapper weirdly feels like an insult in a modern era, but it's just, it's catchy as shit and it's fun. And honestly, I feel like this song would have possibly been a good closer. Well, actually, no, I'm lying. This is, Glorious Day should have honestly been a closer. Oh, Girlfriend needs to not be on this album. This song keeps this album from being kind of low-key perfect for what they're trying to do. It's too hammy. Like, we get it. And I almost wonder, like, we're, you know, the first half, you know, we get our sweet songs. Then we kind of get a little bit of edge. Because then you get Crab and Knockdown Dragout that are kind of like your somewhat downer pop songs. Mm-hmm. And I know we're trying to go, we've consumed so much sweetness by the time we get to Old Girlfriend, where I'm starting to feel like I might have overdone it. On the candy. It's too sweet. We needed something a little bitter in the end.
Which is why I think that for me, like, I think Knockdown Dragout would be a good third single. Because it's not too dissimilar from what's come before it, but it is a little bit swarmier, and that's fun. We like that iteration of Weezer.
That's a good point. And I feel like with the fun, quirky enough video, this could be cool. But I feel like whatever the third single was going to be difficult because Hashpipe and Out in the Sun are just too strong of a songs. Anything that came after would already just feel like somewhat of a step down, I feel.
It's not even that they are strong songs, but they're also weird songs. There's a thing about them that is going to stick in your head in a way that Photograph just does not have. Whether it be the hip hip of it all, or even just the title itself, I you know, we had our panties in a twist about the song being called Hashpipe. Like, those are things that are gonna make that song stick with you, even outside of the song itself. And I like Photograph. Photograph is my favorite song off of this album. It does not have that thing that makes it, it is mm-hmm. earwormy for sure, but it doesn't have that extra thing that is going to make it stick with you past the 2.5 minutes that it's playing on the radio.
The way you broke down the track structure earlier was masterful, by the way. But at the same time, I feel bad in using that. And I know you just said it was your favorite track because Photograph, unfortunately, feels at times too much like a buffer between Don't Let Go and Hashpipe.
It's, again, that track too, it usually is kind of continuing your trajectory between 1 and 3. And I think that it is doing that here. And sometimes that means that the second track is a lesser song. I don't personally think that that's what's happening here, but I could see the argument.
Because for like me, I know, weird aside, but when it comes to sing along to songs, I'm that person, I am a sucker for good background vocals and harmonies. Like usually if I'm, you know, especially when my sister and I would sing stuff, like we would usually switch up, but like, I usually would cover like the background stuff, which I know I told that story in another podcast and getting bitched at by later people. But I don't know. I find them fun and I'm the sucker when it lands. I will say this about Photograph. It's a background vocalist wet dream.
Yeah. There's lots of fun stuff happening back there, which is for me a big reason why I like this song, because I think the vocals on it are very good. Which makes Hashpipe even more confusing.
Because yeah, and it's tough because Hashpipe, but if you take this song off, this album doesn't hit the same. It's weird. Like, it shouldn't be here. But if you took it away, you'd know something was missing. That's what I'm saying. Hashpipe might be quintessential Weezer song. Or at least one of the quintessential, because it's just, it's so frustrating.
It's weird because it is, in a strange way, the anchor of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, structurally, you've got so many songs that are kind of working off of it, either in leading up to it or juxtaposing it. I think the transition to the latter half of the album is a lot harder and weirder without Hashpipe in the front half.
I'm going to try a thing, and I don't know if this works, because you're right about that, by the way. What if I take Smile and make that the bridge between the halves? Like, putting Smile behind After Island in the Sun. Because, like I said, I don't want Oh Girlfriend here. I'm sorry, Oh Girlfriend. And if you listening, hit us up on Blue Sky, Instagram, TLAT Podcast, yell at me about how much you love Oh Girlfriend, and it's the best song in their discography. I will fight you. I don't love it.
Nah. Take that energy to Blue Sky.
No, go to Insta too. She wants the smoke. Actually, matter of fact, she texted me earlier. It's like, I want all of the smoke. She was like that one NPC from GTA 5. I was like, I squab like it's my only job. I'm kidding. No, but please be nice to my friend. But like, so I want Simple Pages to be the closer of this song, because I feel like the outro of that song, it's just big. It's swelling. It's kind of anthemic. And I think it's a nice way to go out. I kind of want to swap Glorious Day for track 8. I want to rearrange this, but I know in my mind it won't work. But at the same time, I know something different has to happen. I just don't know what I'd put where.
I think if you omit Oh Girlfriend, I think Glorious Day is a good closer. I think you could also use Simple Pages as a good
I think the too. Verses on Glorious Day don't work that well for me. Like, it's okay. It's just a weird melody. I don't know. I'll have to think about that, because now I don't know if I can say that definitively, but Glorious Day isn't a bad closer. I feel like Simple Pages would have been a good one. Actually, while we're here. All right, so it debuted at number 4, the week of May 15th, selling 215,000 copies.
I saw a thing that this album, the Green Album, and Pinkerton were certified gold on the same day.
Nice.
That the Green Album sold 500,000 copies the same day, they were certified the same day as Pinkerton, an album that had been out for 5 years.
Oh, I could talk about this now, which is also crazy that happened. But I do want to get into a point with that. But I did want to mention this little soundbite I read. I believe this was from Weezerpedia. But it was like, before recording it with Weezer, the band initially offered the song being Hashpipe, to musician Ozzy Osbourne. Said Cuomo, I'd written a song with nobody in mind. And then Ozzy's camp reached out to my manager and asked if we had a song. So I sent him Hashpipe. He didn't have any use for it at the time, so we ended up using it ourselves. We didn't think it was going to work for Weezer. It seemed like an odd fit for us, but it worked really well out of the gate. It's so fun to play live. So, not to sound like a condescending dick, Rivers Cuomo is a massive metalhead, but he's stuck. He's Ben Folds that wants to be Gene Simmons, but he looks more like Ben Folds. No disrespect to you, Mr. Folds. You're delightful.
Yes. That's my dad. We love Ben Folds in this house. That's my dad. Okay, though, like, I can hear it. There is, on Earth 2, the only difference is that Hashpipe was sung by Ozzy Osbourne instead of Weezer, and it works.
Knock it down a few BPM, get Zach Wilde on the strings. No, this might actually kind of go crazy with Ozzy.
Yeah, because again, the instrumentation still fucking slaps, and Ozzy Osbourne has a much better time singing in that higher register, and probably would sing it straight as opposed to whatever the fuck.
So in your mind, Ozzy, technically, he's not hitting that same note that Rivers is hitting off rip.
Maybe, but it's not. I feel horrible saying this. Like, I'm not trying to talk shit. This man is a gajillionaire, all that. This vocal performance in particular, I does not resonate with me. I just think that Ozzy has shown in previous performances that he can hit those falsetto notes in a way that sounds pretty clean. So either they pitch it down and he sings it, you know, he sings it down, or he hits the falsetto and it sounds cleaner. I'm imagining like Crazy Train, like the chorus of Crazy Train kind of style.
Damn, I miss Ozzy.
Right?
And not to derail us, I know we're talking about Weezer, but I still have not been able to watch any of the footage of that last performance. Because I know somebody for a solid 2 weeks, especially all the music blogs I follow, like online, were reposting his performance of Mama Coming Home. And I'm like, you're not allowed to do that shit. That shit, it's like, I don't care. Like, I'm talking like the toughest metal people, or like, God's like, everybody was going through it when he was singing that. Like, dude literally left it all out on that stage and then just dipped out afterwards. Crazy run. Crazy ass generational run. Absolutely wild. But I doubt there was anything recorded, but I wonder if there's anywhere anything logged where he tried to give it a go and was like, Sharon, this song is this shite.
Cause this was also like the Osbournes era.
Oh, he actually could have done that shit
of
too.
Ozzy. Though.
I feel like Jack would have probably like trolled him into doing it.
The trajectory of both of the kids is way bananas. Weird, by the way. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Well, I'm sad that that didn't happen. Thanks for bumming me out.
Oh, and we didn't talk about the lawsuit.
We did not talk about the lawsuit. So, okay. I know that there was a lawsuit. I don't know a ton about it other than Matt Sharp thinks that Rivers owes him money.
See, in my mind, it was less think, but more or less knows.
Like, he wasn't credited as a songwriter on Pinkerton?
All right, here we go. I think those Rolling Stone, if I'm not mistaken, around when this originally happened. Former Weezer bassist Matt Sharp has filed a lawsuit against the band over songwriting ownership. The suit filed April 18th. I think that was, shit, what year was that? I think this was actually 2001. Because there was an email that Matt Sharp allegedly had sent to Rivers Cuomo, basically being like, looks like the band's going to be making money again, so we're probably going to have to figure this shit out sooner than later. So get back at me about that. Because I figured once he realized Weezer was back and they were going to be touring and there was obviously Pinkerton sales were starting to fly off the shows. Like, dude, you know, I'm not going to blame him. Smart guy to be like, look, we need to figure this shit out because I needs to get paid.
No, I was just going to say, especially with the benefit of hindsight, knowing that, like, that Rentals record that he had been working on, like, it took forever for the Rentals album to come out and that the next one took a little bit more time to come out. It just, homie could use the money.
Because I almost want to talk about, and if we ever do more of these, I do want to talk about the Rentals in some capacity, not to veer off again. But honestly, as much as Return of the Rentals is a great album, 7 More Minutes might be their best one. That album is an absolute just anthemic banger. it holds up so well.
And it's been a very long time, I think, since
I've never stopped listening to it. So. It stayed in my rotation since it came out. Because at first I was like, oh, this is a lot different than Friends of P. But it goes in some great places. Musically, it's just wonderful. And the fact that like Tegan and Sarah covered Man with Two Brains, like, did they get huge commercial success like you said? No, but it's like every favorite band's favorite band. Everybody fucks with the Rentals. But before we get that, this dude has to sue somebody.
I am absolutely here for the three-part Rentals deep dive.
Hey, well, you don't have to you don't have to twist my arm. I'm already here.
We'll add it to the list.
So let's see. Former Weezer bassist Matt Sharp filed a lawsuit against the band over songwriter ownership. The suit filed April 18th, I guess 2001, in the United States District Court. Charges his former bandmates with breach of fiduciary duty, legal malpractice, and dissolution of partnership, declaratory relief, and accounting under the Copyright Act. Because the one thing, I guess it depends on who you talk to, but from what Matt has said, basically he was fired by the rest of the band, as opposed to him just leaving, which is something that, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't hear that. I thought they made it sound like he always just left. But him getting fired is a completely different thing altogether.
Yeah. And legally, it may have been that, like from a contractual standpoint, he may have been fired. Sorry, it's me. I know it's a thing they do in the NHL sometimes where like, you're not fired. We're just kind of mutually agreeing that this is not going to fucking work.
Yeah, they're basically being like, oh, you know, making it look like you weren't fired. So that way, because when you're fired, it always comes off a way. And I know in doing termination, there's certain rules they have to abide by. So we're not doing those, you know, I guess it's easier for them, which is shitty that that happens even in bands.
Yeah.
In question, there are a number of the group's biggest songs, including Undone, the Sweater Song from Weezer's self-titled 1994 debut, which Sharp claims he co-wrote with Weezer vocalist Rivers Cuomo and drummer Pat Wilson. Sharp contends that he owns one-third interest in the song. According to the suit, quote, Cuomo represented to plaintiff that he would receive compensation for his contribution to writing Undone on or about March 20th, 1996. However, Cuomo claimed complete ownership in the copyright to Undone. Sharp also claims to have co-authored a number of songs, Tired of Sex, Get You, No Other One, Why Bother, Across the Sea, El Scorcho, Pink Triangle, Falling for You, and A Good Life, which is basically the whole damn album, from Weezer's second album, Pinkerton, released in 1996. Which, what we learned about that Lady Killer song, that opening line in El Scorcho was probably a Matt Sharp thing. Or at least inspired by.
Which means that Rufus has been taking fucking heat for that for the past 25 years. And he's sitting there like, what are they saying fuck me for?
Okay, I know I was telling you this. Let me see if I can get the name. Lush, was it? I believe British indie rock band, pretty influential. They had an album back in 96, Lady Killers being one of like the big tracks off that. I'm not going to read the whole thing down, but look it up on Genius or wherever you get your lyrics. I guess the guitarist pretty much confirmed that that third verse is about, I guess, some time that she has spent with Matt Sharp. Not flattering, but, you know, whatever. I guess hopefully Matt's grown since then.
Well, and Anthony Kiedis caught the main bullet from that song, to be fair.
Oh, no, he caught crazy. Like, shots were fired at Anthony. Anthony tried to do, like, a Matrix dodge, but somehow managed to hit every single one of those bullets in a vital spot.
He tried to fire back and shot himself in his own foot.
But, yeah, so that line from El Scorcho, that tracks. But, oh, this goes even further. Oh, wow. This filing also stipulates that Sharp has yet to receive an accounting of songwriting royalties and received an email from Cuomo on April 24, 2001. I read, okay, here we go. Oh, I stand corrected. I lied. It was back. Okay, it was the other way around. So, correction from the first statement. Cuomo, I guess, emailed Sharp in 2001, April 2001, being like, it looks like we're going to start making money again, so we, I guess parentheses you and I, had better get this thing squared away sooner rather than later so the money flows to all the right places without getting hitched up. Ooh.
Which makes sense because, like, despite the fact that Matt was kind of no longer in Weezer, they still seemed friendly-ish for a bit after that.
And they've worked together since then. Like, so I think they're mostly good now. So it looks like, thankfully, all this got resolved as far as I know, unless, you know, we find out otherwise.
And I'm not 100% sure how this lawsuit ended up being handled. I'm not sure if they, you know, if they like settled it or if they actually had to go to court for it or what the deal was. But if what is being said is accurate and Matt should be credited as a songwriter on all of these songs, then I hope he got his due diligence.
Same. And also, respectfully, we would like some more rentals, please.
Please.
Hit up Maya Rudolph. Maybe she'll come back too. Like, honestly, bring back Petra Hayden. Because not to go on a whole other thing, but Petra Hayden really was that secret sauce in a lot of those early rental songs. So I know you already said that this album wasn't really like big with you, but I guess in your opinion, do you think in the year 2026, do you think this holds up? Like, if someone were to have listened to this for the first time this year, do you think it'd be worth checking in on?
Yeah, it's interesting because we don't really have a lot of bands that are doing this anymore. But at the same time, in the last few years, pop punk and power pop have kind of been on a bit of a resurgence. So it would be kind of nice to, for maybe for somebody who hasn't done a lot of deep diving into this band or into this music genre, if you heard something from a band from today, to go back and listen to the Green album, like, it would be an interesting way to kind of work backwards to see where the new stuff is kind of coming from and pulling reference from.
Right.
To me, I think this album holds up better than some of the later Weezer stuff that's happened that I've heard.
As much as this album is like, you know, the comeback album, I feel like the Green album and Maladroit are in this weird middle section because we're not doing, we're removed from Pinkerton and Blue album, but we didn't get to like Make Believe and Ratitude and all that yet. And weirdly enough, this album, and I guess if we ever talk about Maladroit, which I think would be kind of interesting down the line, it's like this feels like the last of what truly felt like classic Weezer before the formula set in, where now all of that, you know, maybe that scientific method you were referring to now got perfected in later albums, where we almost don't come back from that until he does Back to the Shack, so to speak. This album was great, and like I said, Maladroit just feels extra sad because like it felt like the last of like that true Weezer. And I don't know how to say that where it doesn't sound like really shitty, like, oh, I only like their old stuff, bro, because I usually don't like those people because it's annoying. You know, like that thing of let people evolve, let them grow, let them do different stuff. But you, I think you hit the nail on the head. Some of the later stuff just feels so heavily curated that this does feel a little bit like the last little bit of that Weezer that, you know, us 90s kids knew.
And those later things, I curated is a good word. It starts to feel like YouTube guy, where instead of just like talking, we're doing like the YouTube voice, and everything, every decision is just so calculated and done in such a disingenuous way to sort of expand the fan base as much as possible, to make a song that is as catchy to as many people as possible. And again, I'm not the first person to say this. I won't be the last person to say this. It's one of those that, like, by trying to please everyone, you're not really pleasing anyone. No one. It doesn't hit. It doesn't resonate with anyone.
Right. And I guess because he was trying so hard to get out back on everybody's good graces because of all the shit that happened after Pinkerton, he's like, look, if they want this version of Rivers, then I'm going to give, you know, the most intense version of Rivers. What I guess becomes frustrating for me, and I guess, you know, kind of to cap this all off, is that throughout their career, we see Rivers, again, doing that curation. Like I said, it literally feels like a Mr. Beast type thing where he's going for max stats on all these particular things. But when we get those little flourishes of what I feel like is true Rivers, it's so good. Mm-hmm. Like, which is why I love the White album. And not just because a lot of it sounds like the 90s, with the exception of some songs here and there, but it feels like the most, like he's just having fun with it. There's no overthinking. There's no, how do we get, you know, the most bang out of this? It's just, he just seems to be in the moment. And honestly, I feel like Do You Want to Get High is kind of one of their most underrated songs ever. But we're not there yet. We're still stuck here where he's still trying to figure it out. But he does. And that's when he figures it out is when things kind of feel a little bit of a bummer.
And what's even more interesting to me is, like, yes, you do have that Mr. Beastification of Weezer, but then Weezer will make these weird, expensive choices, air quotes around it, where they're doing things like trying to make a Broadway show and shit like that, where I'm just like, who is this for?
I wonder if that came out of the whole Flaming Lips tour. That's the only thing I can think of.
I just like, okay, like Rivers is not Ben Folds. Rivers is definitely not Wayne Coyne. Like, I don't know, man.
I don't go for them for theatrics.
No.
If they had just played an intimate room with, you know, a bunch of poorly tuned guitars and some amps, it still would have been a good time. So, like you said with the musical, like, I get it, but, you know, there's a way to do it, but you're not going to be that band. We don't really need another American Idiot.
Well, and if I am remembering correctly, it's they were trying to do it based off of the Seasons project.
Oh, yeah.
Which is another thing. We don't have time. I got to go to bed. But, like, that's another thing that I think would be interesting to talk about down the line. Because, like, why? Question mark. I don't... Because you're right. They could absolutely... They could go out and do the Metallica thing. And just go out and play 220 shows a year out on the road. And people would be fucking hyped for it. You know, crowds screaming the Sweater song every night to close out the evening. Blah, fine. And it seems like sometimes Weezer is fine to do that, and they're fine in that lane, and that's their lane, and they're cool with it. But every once in a while, they're just like, no, this isn't it. We have to go do capital R, real, capital A, art. And it's those real art choices where I'm just like, I find myself more interested in Weezer at that point. That's the stuff that I want to understand.
Right.
Because it seems like there's no, like, rhyme or reason to it.
Right. And I feel bad because I'm the guy who's kind of low-key being like, maybe they should stay in their lane, and knowing full well that other people just say that about most creators, again, I don't like. And perhaps, and I will close with this, and maybe when we do subsequent versions of this, Weezer is just weird and that's okay. Maybe I'm the problem.
And you know what's interesting? Is I think when you and I talked about Weezer the first time, I think that's where we landed the first time, is that maybe us as an audience, and maybe you and I a little bit specifically, give them a rough time, and that's a little shitty of us.
Which is why I want to kind of keep doing these down the line, to go back and, like, all those weird podcasts that I blew off and just really figure out, like, what's happening in here. Because, like I said, it'd be too easy to be like, all this sucks, because I don't think it does. It's just fascinating from an outsider's perspective. And if nothing else, as a someone who loves examining art, it's kind of peaking that way.
Yeah. Whatever we end up listening to in subsequent episodes of this iteration of our show and all of that stuff, it may not necessarily be things that are for me. I may not love it every time, but someone does. They put forth the effort to make it. I would like to... You know, wrap my head around, wrap my arms around it, and just try to maybe understand it and meet it where it's at.
Cool.
Except for that Lil Wayne song. That's...
No, we're coming back to that. No, illegal. We're not. We gotta.
Oh, man.
You gotta do this for me, McGarnagle.
I fucking go back to that episode. You can listen to the moment in which I found out that that existed, because I was just out here living my best damn life. Until you put that nugget of knowledge in my head. And now I'm a different, slightly worse person for it. And it's all your fault.
You are very most welcome. As are all of you for, you know, for also engaging in that. So thank you. You're welcome. You know, it's what I could do as a fellow lover of art and all things related to art.
I definitely didn't thank you, but okay. Go off. Wow.
I'm pretty sure you said the other word that ends with a K. Well, on that note, kids, I guess this wraps up our Green Album Weezer retrospective. But if you actually are interested in us talking about more of it, by all means, hit us up on Blue Sky or Instagram at TLAT Podcast on both. Go to TLATpodcast.com, listen to our other stuff, and check out episode 30 of this same show, Love They Say It Ain't So, which is the first time we kind of really dive into Weezer. We're just kind of like the proto version of this. We're on YouTube, Talking Like a Teen Podcast there. Definitely check us out as we've been releasing our archives there. It's a lot of fun, and we have more stuff planned for all of that. So like and subscribe, hit the bell icon, all that stuff. Yvonne at Niage, Notification Squad. No, sorry, Notification Special Forges, excuse me. And this was fun. Like, I kind of want to do more of this down the line because this is weirdly psychotic now. I might end up, like, falling down a massive rabbit hole, becoming, like, a Weezer conspiracy theorist.
If there's another band out there that you think would be good for this, or even just another band that you think would be interesting for us to kind of chat about, let us know. Go to the places that he just said that I was busy dancing through and not really listening. Go there, tell us, and, you know, we'll talk about it.
All right, let me see. Can I try the outro?
I would love nothing more, because honestly, it's tired in here. So tell the kids, give the kids the life advice.
Don't get swallowed by a whale, but if you do, make them listen to the Lil Wayne song that Dee Dee Weezer. All right, bye.
Oh.